Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
We know who's playing in the national championship game. It's going to happen January 20th right here in our backyard at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, Mike, listen, we thought that the Dogs had a legitimate chance to get there. Notre Dame knocks them off. Notre Dame then knocks off Penn State. And then we saw the Ohio State beat Texas in a game in which you're at the 8-yard line. If you're the University of Texas and Steve Sarkisian, you have an opportunity to punch it in, tie this score up, and who knows what happens at that point. But instead, it's a strip sack, scoop and score for Jack Sawyer. And, Mike, it changed the game. And then all of a sudden, now you're down 14. It was over. That moment, it was done.
Yeah, and I was feeling for you, brother. I know, Chris, we were talking about, you know, we ride and die with our boy. And, man, it was just one where you're sitting, you're going, all I could think of watching that goal line scenario was kind of what Ohio State did in Happy Valley against Penn State. And, you know, Penn State, okay, they got athletes, but this is Texas. And I just thought, man, how are you trying to go sideways on a toss sweep when you've got a front seven that looks like an NFL team?
Four dive plays up the middle. I don't give a damn. Four times. And if we don't get it, nobody says we didn't go sideline to sideline, Mike, to your point, and go, oh, well, we ran a jet sweep. How often, Falcon fans, do we get upset when we see a jet sweep on the goal line?
Right.
And ridiculous.
You're watching this game go down, and you're saying, oh, that's not going to cut it. You know, and then, of course, everyone knows by now that, you know, they were roommates at Ohio State. You know, sorry, they've all got the whole storyline about how he's like, go blank you, man, after the game, because he takes it to the house. And he literally gets that hop right into his hands, and he's gone. But, yeah, it just felt this, and I hate to sound like, you know, we kind of nailed it, but when you and I were talking about it last week, you worry about Sark getting tight. And you just sometimes you need Quinn Ewers to elevate his game.
And he couldn't.
And he just couldn't do it. And no. The receivers at Texas, if I'm honest, were kind of a little bit.
Outside of Golden, who declared for the draft today, it was blah. Let's hear Ryan Day talk about Jack Sawyer and why he is now. And they're saying this. And I don't disagree. When you make those kind of plays, you become a legend. Vince Young's a legend at the University of Texas, Mike, because of what he did against USC right in that moment in the Rose Bowl. There are legendary plays and players in college football. Jack did that for the Ohio State to put them in a position to win a national championship.
I can't say enough about Jack Sawyer. He's a guy who loves being a Buckeye. He loves his teammates. He's done everything we've asked him to do. He's a captain. He's everything, you know, that we could possibly ask for in a captain. And to make a play like that in that moment, that we talked about before the game, if you want to leave a legacy behind, you become a legend.
By the way, did they ever at Texas cop to the fact that Arch Manning was concussed after that hit? Because the one thing I kept thinking of, and I don't want to bother you because I know you're in your man cave watching the game. I just thought when you get in that red zone, that meant it was Arch Manning time.
It should have been.
And where's his ability to get to the corner?
Should have been.
And I just wonder, if you guys aren't familiar with the play I'm talking about, he was ruled down by contact. The ball kind of comes out as the knee hits, but he was down. But he took a hit. I just wonder if he was just was out of it.
It's possible. That was for a first down, and then they thought the ball came out. This replay showed it didn't, and then we didn't see him again.
That's why I'm thinking, at the sideline, if they just never answered the question, but it was, yeah, that's, and you and I debate, we talked about this in both Georgia games, needed more Arch, I could have used more cowbell, I could have used more Arch
cowbell,
Manning.
That's right.
You know, and next year it's his job, right?
It will be his job. As far as Sawyer, here's what he said on being an Ohio State legend. And by the way, you got to finish this. You got to beat Penn State.
Oh, they will.
Okay? Here's Sawyer talking about being a legend.
You'll be a Buckeye legend for life. How does that sound?
I just want to win a national championship.
Yeah, and I don't want to.
Excuse me, they got to beat
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Don't want to be, you know, a buzzkill on this. Look, I like Marcus Freeman. My dad loved Notre Dame. I've never vibed it because of the sense of entitlement and all. They always, you know, work their way into the playoffs or postseason. But it's not Brian Kelly. It's a more likable Notre Dame team. You know, I mean, the resiliency. Drew Aller for Penn State.
Tough.
I mean, I don't know how NFL, you're not going to be judged on one game because we've seen quarterbacks have stinkers. Not everybody can be Joe Montana in the Cotton Bowl for Notre Dame and then go on to the 49ers. But still, man, he just, talk about a meltdown.
Yeah, he didn't show me anything. And if you're a Penn State fan, I mean, like, that had to be a very disappointing performance. Hey, something else happened over the weekend I thought was really cool. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about the road to the college football playoff. More Falcon conversation coming up. Our conversation with Mark Raimondi here in the 6 o'clock hour as we kind of, you know, set the stage for what's next, guys. And many of you were with us in saying, hey, somebody's got to pay the price for what happened. The defense was bad. That means the defensive coordinator should go, and they fired him. So we'll get into that coming up in the six. But, Mike, the game day crew had a chance to tell Nick Saban that he's being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And I thought this was really cool. And, by the way, I actually love Saban on the game day. He's really good. He's entertaining. He's fun. But this is when they told him that he's going into the College Football Hall of Fame.
And this December, coming up in Las Vegas National Football Foundation Awards Dinner, their new Hall of Fame class will be announced. And headlining that class will be the greatest college football coach in the history of the sport, Nick Saban.
Hey.
Nick
is going in.
Congratulations.
Congrats, man.
I didn't know anything about it.
It's happening right now.
Yeah, man, and I can't argue anything that Reese said, and good for Nick, man. I'm getting a kick out of Nick. I love when he drops a cuss in there, and they go, Nick, you're on television.
That's right, he forgets. He forgets.
It's been fun to watch, man. And, look, as we said, there's always – I do get – is it the VRBO commercial he does where he owns the house? And he goes, no, no, it's an approval. You can't do that. I'm serious. No showers more than 5 minutes.
It is funny.
But he does have a lighter side, and good for him, and that's a no-brainer. Well, I've always – and this – let me preface this by saying this is not a knock on the College Football Hall of Fame because it's an amazing facility. We love being there. I'm just talking about how they decide who gets in because some guys have to wait forever. Some guys go in immediately.
Yeah.
But either way, he's certainly deserved. And, yes, you'd think if there was a waiting period, they'd waive it. They didn't. He's in.
I agree. And that's the other part. Like, he's out of college football now. He shouldn't have to wait 10 years, to your point.
Right.
Get him in there. Hey, I do want to mention one other thing here about college, and it's college basketball. The Dogs are in the top 25, Mike. They are 23rd in the country after this weekend. Auburn takes over the number one spot, but you still have Alabama and Florida and Tennessee and Kentucky, all SEC teams. And A&M is right outside the top 10, and here comes Georgia at 23.
I just saw this from Brent Rollins, who writes for UGA Sports on Rivals. It's pretty funny. It's a seating map, I think, of either on StubHub or SeatGeek for Stegman, and it's the seats and the ticket prices for Auburn and Georgia on Saturday. And it's like, well, damn. It's like, wow. It's like, widespread panic plan? Those are some pretty impressive ticket prices. I mean, you're looking at like $267 to be just a few rows off the angle. I mean, anyway, people, the good news is there's a buzz. We've talked about, can Mike White
there
crank it up? And that's something really cool to see. And for George, good for them.
It is. Turtle just said we're going to be joined by their point guard on Thursday. Is that right? We're going to grab him?
Yeah, we're going to be joined by Silas DeMary Jr., who's having a great season, averaging almost 12 a game.
Good team.
Very cool.
All right.
And while we're doing some random nuggets, we didn't get to this on Friday's show, but talking to a couple of my Clemson buddies, you know, Dabo, kind of under the radar a little bit because everyone's so focused on the games now with our playoff and all, but Dabo Swinney did get into the transfer portal.
Okay.
And he did take three transfers. And this is something, you know, you guys know. He was fighting it for a number of reasons, and he certainly was able to look. He got into the playoffs without using the transfer portal. You can give him tip your cap for that. Went home early against Texas. But he does get Tristan Smith, a wide receiver from Missouri State, a defensive lineman from Purdue, and Jeremiah Alexander, a defensive lineman from the Tide. So he's getting in the portal. So for years, he's kind of been, nope, not going to do it. But even, like, don't die on that hill. Just show the flexibility. The same flexibility Saban used to use his position, Carl, like as a pulpit, to say, oh, I don't like this or I don't like that. Eventually, he just adapt to it. You know, just like, oh, this up-tempo Auburn offense, and then Alabama would get one.
Right.
Right? And all, well, I don't know about this name, image, likeness. Well, I got a million, you know. He would adapt. And I think Dabo's got to show that same kind of flexibility.
I'm with you. And I just think, too, what you need, if you use it the right way, it can benefit your team. I do not think you go into the portal and get 70 new guys every year. That's not going to help you. But, Mike, to your point, I need a guard. I need a wide receiver. Ask Georgia. I go get a couple of guys to supplement what I already have. I think it can help you. And that's what I think the good coaches are learning about this thing. I do understand the old guard of that's right. Not how we do it, and that's not how I'm going to win until you don't win.
Right. And then all of a sudden the sense of urgency creeps into it. And now, you know, and look, I'm not saying you got to overdo it. Florida State is a poster child, but don't do it too much. Everyone's going to watch and see how Indiana, you know, after Cignetti moves on from the guys that he brought from James Madison, how does he retool? So there's more than one way to be a champion. I think, look at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's always got the great recruiting nationwide. He's also augmented it with, you know, look at his quarterback, Riley Leonard, you know, picked up at Duke. I saw this guy take a beating at Florida State.
Yeah.
Always saw the toughness. Now, but that's another thing. Real quick. quick, while we're just talking about, I mentioned the concussion thing with Arch Manning. A lot of folks feel Riley Leonard got knocked into tomorrow. And if this is the NFL standards, maybe he's not back in that game in the Orange Bowl.
Well, who was reporting is my thing. Because they did not report he was concussed. And then he came back and played. We said this. I told you Friday. Like, there was no way he was not coming back.
Right.
Who does the reporting? Because I thought he was out too, Mike. I thought he was done.
Well, it's, what was the old Snickers commercial they did a couple years ago where it's the guy gets knocked out. He goes, where are you? Kansas City, who are you? I'm Batman. You want to ride with Batman? So, I mean, look, we don't monkey around when it comes to concussions, but there was an article a day ago from the South Bend newspaper. Notre Dame's Marcus Freeman says, you trust your doctors. Well, yeah, if they're the team friggin' doctors. I'm not trying to be, like, again, I'm not trying to make this into a conspiracy theory, but Freeman said there's nothing different in college football playoff games from the regular season protocol that Notre Dame used. We have a medical professional team, so it's the team. It's not the NFL. This isn't like a third party, like college football, like the Orange Bowl. See, who's going to pay for it? Well, the college football playoff committee? They're not paying for it. The Orange Bowl's not paying for it.
No.
So it's in staff, because you and I, we were debating this on Friday, and the article then came out over the weekend. So, no, it's just a Notre Dame doctor signed off on a Notre Dame player getting back in the biggest game Notre Dame's played in 5 years.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that was curious, to say the least, but they got over it. They're past it, and then now they're getting ready to play for a national championship. It should be interesting. And what do you think, by the way, what do you think the number's going to be? You think it's going to be a high-rated game?
Well, and it's interesting, the numbers were down, and this goes back to our viewing habits. We've kind of been conditioned to watch. If you watch on the Prime games, because most folks have Amazon, but the Thursday night games, they were down. The numbers were down 10 million viewers from last year. Now, of course, it was Georgia in the Michigan Rose Bowl game. And that was, and again, that was a New Year's Day game. This is Thursday
night. So
everybody
was home.
You know, it's a week, and it's a week, yeah, so much later than New Year's. So it's a little bit, you got to take it with a grain of salt. We've never had college football games this late into the year. And of course, the championship, of course, comes up a week from today at Mercedes-Benz. But the numbers were down. And I had to laugh. I told Carl, I said, how are the numbers down when everybody from El Paso to Jacksonville couldn't get out of their house on Thursday night,
right,
waiting for Snowmageddon or experiencing the snow? You'd have thought, I don't know if that just is a testament that SEC country doesn't give a flip about Penn State and Notre Dame, but the numbers were down a little bit. But it's still not the worst rated Orange Bowl. We've had that when there was a New Year. Remember we had the New Year's Eve games? Which nobody really liked that.
Yeah, because it messed up your plans.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, but the numbers, for what it's worth, were down. Oklahoma and, I should say, Ohio State and Texas, their numbers took a bit of a hit, but wasn't as far a drop-off as the Orange Bowl.
Two of the most storied programs in the history of college football playing in a national championship game. Whether you like them or you have a rooting interest, I do think the number's going to be good. And again, it's January 20th. For those of you who don't know, that's MLK Day.
Right.
So most people will be off. And, Mike, NBA, it's a big day for the National Basketball Association, but the game is not – it's the only game that's on. So my guess is people will watch. People will be interested in seeing what plays out.
Right. But you feel it's going to be a blowout? You think Ohio State, Texas – I mean, Notre Dame can't do what Texas did at times.
Notre Dame's defense is really good, though, man.
They are.
They're really good.
But, man, I mean –
ask Georgia.
I mean,
I get it. Georgia's offense is not as dynamic as Ohio State, and they certainly don't have those wide receivers. But, Mike, Texas shut down Ohio State's star wide receiver. They had a great game plan for him. That is not why they lost the game. So if Notre Dame can do that, I think it's Jeremiah Smith, I believe it is.
That's correct.
You give yourself a chance. If that kid is catching 9 or 10 balls and 2 touchdowns, you're going to have a long night.